Greetings, everyone. Are you ready for an accelerated course in higher consciousness? This is how our global village will get ahead of the accelerated rate of change we are now seeing in the world. It won't be with the same consciousness that created the problems we see. It will be with a new consciousness that is now evolving with the angels of our better nature. Welcome to Cosmic Love. Have you ever considered what will happen when the language of cosmic love becomes common sense with a common language? Are you aware that this love language is, in fact, the learning process, the creative process, and the processes of consciousness at the quintessential foundation of self-governance? Think about that. Such a language of consciousness has the potential to involve and evolve our individual and collective consciousness. This is what cosmic love is all about, higher conscience. Give yourself a checkup from the neck up. What do you think will happen to your world and the world at large as we become more conscious of how we are conscious, both individually and collectively? I'll give you a big hint. Take a good look at the worldwide web of consciousness that the internet has created. Consider this new net reality for what it truly is, a global revolution in higher consciousness. The instant, everywhere, interactive internet has eliminated space and time. We're all connected in a global village now. All knowledge is at your fingertips. Knowledge power as never before known to humanity. But where's the cosmic love, you may ask? There's a new net reality shaping the consciousness of humanity. Freedom to know better and the opportunity to do better has far outpaced the ability of our core institutions to keep up with the revolutionary capabilities for all humanity. That's what the internet represents, the evolving consciousness of humanity, the collective consciousness of humanity, and the collective future of humanity. That's where cosmic love comes in. Any good metaphysician with his finger on the pulse of humanity could tell you that. If you step out of the box of contemporary groupthink and if you become an objective observer of the evolutionary ascent of net reality caused by the internet, you will not only see a huge wave of change coming, but also the nature of that change and the role that cosmic love will play in change events. There is a natural evolutionary path to these changes. Cosmic love is a blueprint for that change. It always has been. But humanity is just beginning to grasp the multidimensional consciousness required to navigate the vast, uncharted realm of inner space, the internet, at the heart of the internet. This is the new global village consciousness that is defining the collective conscience of humanity. Let's get real. Net reality is what we make it. Where do you think it's going? How do you think we'll get through the birth pangs of a new world being born? Are you ready for the next big thing in the computer internet revolution? Would you agree that the best way to predict the future is to create it? Cosmic love is the answer to these questions. All I ask is that you listen and learn. See how you can catch the biggest wave of opportunity in history. I'll explain how you can ride that wave for phenomenal win-win benefits for yourself and all humanity. Those hearing this are obviously computer literate, so connect the dots. Get a grip on the net reality of global connection with the benefits of cosmic love. Someone has to do it. May it begin with us, united sovereigns in a united state of cosmic love. Always victory when we love enough, keep the faith. Get the vision, embrace the virtue, make the vow, and claim the victory of cosmic love in your world and the world at large.
This is Christopher Rudy with Cosmic Love for January 28th, 2012. And today I'll be interviewing Foster Gamble, the visionary behind the Thrive Movement. You can go to his website at www.thrive, movement.com. And in this show, We'll be discussing Thrive Solutions. I figure many people listening to this show are familiar with Foster Gamble and his work with the Thrive Show and have read the information about it. And the Thrive Solutions has fascinated me, and my pleasure to speak with Foster. Thank you for being with us on the show today.
You're welcome, Christopher. It's nice to be with you.
So I thought the first half hour, Foster and I will discuss solutions, going into the solutions section that is a part of the Thrive movement, and their video, their website has a whole section on the subject of solutions for the thrival of humanity. And I thought then after about a half hour, we'll open it up for about 15 minutes of phone calls, if you'd like to call in with your questions about the Thrive Solutions. And I wanted to just reference a little bit about Foster for those who might be just coming to this subject new. Foster is the president and co-founder of Clear Compass Media, which produced the Thrive movie and website. And previously, Foster was CEO of Mind Center Corporation, which is the pioneer in the emerging mind fitness training field. And Foster is a third-degree black belt in the nonviolent martial art of Aikido. And he was also the script consultant and on-screen host for the PBS documentary Aikido, The Way of Harmony. And Foster, I had a chance to talk with you just briefly the other day and about the subject of Aikido, which has always fascinated me, and specifically in reference to conflict resolution and the whole spirit of Aikido. Could you give us a little background and when you got into Aikido and how that's worked for you?
Well, when I left college and kind of went out into the world, one of the things that I wanted to take care of was just feeling as safe as I could. And I was an athlete in college, so you know, I knew how to handle my body and so forth, but I really wanted to learn self-defense so I could just feel as safe and at peace as I could. So I started with karate and did some tai chi, but those really were frustrating for me because I could never commit my spirit to them 100% because it was always ultimately about injuring the person who was attacking you. And it wasn't a philosophy that I could use with my children or with my lovers or with my work associates. And so I dropped out and mentioned it to a friend, and they said, well, trust me and just come to one Aikido class with me because you're not going to have to invent this whole path yourself. Someone's already done it. So I did go and continued to train and teach Aikido for the next 15 years, and I was thrilled to find that there is a philosophy of nonviolence with a physical expression where you can actually learn to be fully powerful and at the same time be gentle with yourself and with those around you. And that's very much what Aikido is about.
Wow. Well, that's amazing in itself. I'm fascinated with that because I saw George Leonard's training video on Aikido as the art of conflict resolution, which emphasized being centered and connected in response to any offensive energy that is not centered and connected. And what are the principles of Aikido that you brought to this whole development of the Thrive movie?
Well, I'm glad you asked that question because Aikido really was formative for me in my life in finding out that there was a nonviolent, powerful way. And as I started investigating what was really going on in the world behind the scenes that was keeping us from thriving, I was shocked, as many people have been, to find out how destructive the worldview is of a small international cartel of banking elite who seem to be hell-bent to take over the world. You know, it sounds like a James Bond movie or something like that, but if you actually look around, the evidence is overwhelming that it's happening and that it's not accidental. And these people have primary control financially over the media, the military, the governments, the multinational corporations, and so forth. So the whole notion of going up against them violently, even if we wanted to, would be very fruitless. However, it turns out we outnumber them, the people actually perpetrating this agenda, by at least 1,000,000 to 1. So we have numbers on our side. And it turns out also that each one of their power centers, the media, the military, government, and so forth, are dependent on our participation in order to survive. They're all created as pyramidal structures with the mass of us at the bottom and then the elite at the top. But it turns out that the strength of a pyramid is, in fact, in its base. And as we withdraw our participation consciously, then that whole house of cards that depends on deception and corruption will come tumbling down, and it's starting to already. So I've used Aikido in many ways in my life as a guideline for how to be effective while being nonviolent, how to be powerful, strategic, while not going against your own body, your own emotions, other people's wholeness, and so forth. And I think it provides a great compass, like Gandhi and King used, for nonviolent non-participation. It turns out, as long as you've got the truth and you've got love on your side, then you're aligned with the life force, and really you're unstoppable as long as you don't try to go against force itself, as long as you don't try to go against natural principles. So Aikido really trained me for many years in then how to apply this in the subtler levels that we need to know now.
So the Aikido, as well as involving the physical body, engages the spiritual, mental, and emotional energies behind the physical body, as I understand it, and that the ability to remain centered and connected on all levels is the same ability to resolve conflict in personal relationships in general.
I think it's a beautiful description. In fact, another term for it could be cosmic love, because one of the things that the founder of Aikido said is that even though I am in the body of a man, I am the whole universe. And the key to Aikido is when you realize that there's no separation between you and another person, even if they're attacking you, because then it establishes, it reinforces this connection energetically that you have, and you can end up taking care of an attacker by blending with their energy instead of going up against it, and then either disengaging from them or immobilizing them. But you actually do it with love. Not love like, I'm in love with this person, but I don't love that person. This is the love of realizing one's interconnectedness, one's absolute oneness with the entire universe, and that is cosmic love.
Yeah.
And from that state, as you practice it, you're able to respond to, as you get good at it, to, you know, 2, 3, 4 attackers coming at you, even with weapons, in a way that it's as if you're dancing joyously with the energy rather than panicked and fighting against some enemy.
Well, I like the analogy to a dance, because I've seen those kind of attacks with Aikido, and I've seen the dance, and the flow is just extraordinary, and the harmony and the flow with the movements is just amazing. And I like to think of it as country two-step swing dancing, where you got two people spinning around and doing all kinds of moves, and the one is leading, but the other is in perfect harmony in a way that you can't really tell, that they're separate.
Yes, it often looks fake to an initial observer. And I like to say that defending yourself with Aikido is like dancing with someone who doesn't know yet that they want to dance with you. and in Aikido, the founder of Aikido recommended that everyone study the movements of atoms and planets and galaxies and then mimic those movements, because those are the movements of harmony with life energy. So it's a lot of finding your own center, then being willing to humbly move that center, and then to spiral around to draw an attacker into your center nonviolently. And I know when we were talking the other day, I found out that you're a former figure skater, and I've always wanted to be able to master that art of the spin. I was a hockey player myself, so I would spin around now and then, but not the kind of controlled spin that you guys are capable of doing. But it's very much that same energy of finding that center physically, but also emotionally and mentally and spiritually. And when you find that center, you could probably spin at great rates because you weren't resisting the natural flow of energy.
Well, my favorite thing was spinning, I got to admit. And I like to think I was fire on ice, but the spinning, I got into it so much when I was, of course, this when I was a teenager. I had to put bands on my glasses before I got contacts because my glasses would just go flying off.
Yeah.
But it was just to be able to be centered on the ice and spin and then come out of it on one steel edge with grace. I mean, I wasn't any kind of a master of it. I mean, I went so far and then realized I was becoming too graceful, and kids were making fun of me like I was a twink in high school, so I went on to the wrestling team.
So I think that the key then for, because everyone listening has got something that they've done, some sort of hobby or sport or dancing or music or something where you know that feeling of being in harmony with what's going on around you, being centered and then leading that energy somewhere. So I think our challenge, if we're going to thrive, if we're even going to survive what's going on this planet, and then beyond that to thrive, I think it behooves each of us to look and see, okay, how do we translate those principles into obsoleting the agenda that's going on and then blending with natural principles and leading it where we want it to go? And it can be as simple as what I recommend to people as they're asking about Thrive Solutions is, first of all, go inside. Find your purpose. And it's not something anyone else can tell you. It's not something you just make up. You actually discover what you're here for. And it may refine, it may change over time, but find out what motivates you, what you want to do with your life. Once you know that, then you can align your activities with that. And as long as they're aligned, you'll have way more power than you could ever have otherwise. Once you do that, then I recommend that you go to what we call the sector navigator. We talk about it in the film. We show a graphic of this 12 spheres around one, and then we go into it in great depth on the website. And it's a system that we've devised for whole systems thinking. And the sectors are really cover all of human endeavor. There are things like media and education and governance and science and arts and infrastructure. So then I recommend that people look to see which one of those sectors are you most drawn toward. What's your passion? Where are your skills? And then that's one coordinate to orient yourself. Then I invite people to look and see, okay, what level of engagement am I most drawn to? And there's three levels that we identify. The first is just immediate needs. Am I a doctor and I want to go to Africa with Doctors Without Borders and take care of people directly who don't have the care or work in a soup kitchen or something like that? Get clothes to the homeless and shelter and so forth? Or am I more of a systemic change person? Am I someone who wants to find out how the systems are working and be involved in politics and economics and media and so forth and look to see how to transform those systems, how to bring integrity to those systems in such a way that it decreases and hopefully eliminates the suffering for which the immediate needs needed to be met. And then the third level is what we call the consciousness shift. And that is the actual worldview that is behind the creation of the system. So if there's a worldview that there isn't enough to go around and we have to control other people in order to be safe and that type of thing, then that's going to lead to a very dominant culture and a lot of repression and so forth, like we're in right now. Whereas if your worldview is practical, but at the same time realizing our interconnection with ourselves, with each other, with our environment, with every species on the planet, then we're going to be looking to solutions that actually can work for everyone. So all three of those levels are absolutely critical. None of them are any better than any others. But once you realize what sector do I want to work in and what level do I want to work in, then you'll find the path that is most constructive and joyous for your individual work. And you can relax knowing that the other levels and the other sectors are also going to be handled by people who really want to do that as well. And it's a tremendously powerful way to go about both individual and group activism that we've actually tried out in several projects and had tremendous effect.
Well, it sounds like what Buckminster Fuller talked about with design science, where he talked about, and he had this whole, you know, design revolution that he envisioned was kind of following the same process where he talked about you identify your resources, and you take inventory of your resources, and then you'd create an interaction matrix where you plug in your, as you would call it, your definite major purpose.
Yeah.
And which of the Thrive categories, you know, really speaks to your heart and for application. And then just the interaction matrix, basically the flow of creative energy through that interaction matrix acts to organize that system.
Well, exactly. I rarely run across someone who already knows that, so I really appreciate your background with Bucky, because this whole sector navigator system, this 12 around one, is based on what he called the vector equilibrium, and he called it the mother of all geometries. It's really the structure of space-time itself, because it takes 12 vectors, just like 12 spokes of a wheel, to actually stabilize a hub. So if you do effective action in all 12 of these sectors in a coordinated way, what happens is you stabilize the center of what then can become a sustainable system. And that's the structure, and then the flow that goes with it, as we go into the film, is the torus, is this donut-shaped whirlpool vortex, which really is the fundamental shape of every single sustainable system throughout the cosmos, as far as we can tell, at least with our perception, from subatomic particles all the way up to the clustering of galaxies, and supposedly to the shape of the universe itself. It's all this torus dynamic. So if we can understand the torus and what its fundamental features are, and then design our systems, our energy access systems, our media systems, our economic systems, and so forth, in alignment with that, then we will have mastered, in the sense of coming into alignment with natural principles, in a way that I firmly believe can create a sustainable society on planet Earth. And Bucky was the one who said, you know, this is Earth's final exam, or humanity's final exam, and our choice is between utopia and oblivion, and it's really up to us. So that's why we're using these natural principle geometries to organize our activities, because they align with natural principles and then coordinate action literally almost like a laser beam. The power that comes out when people's activity is coordinated rather than just random and chaotic.
No, I 100% with you on the geometrically ordered divinity, the order of the universe, the fractal nature of creation, and there are first principles of geometry, the circle, triangle, square, and pure geometry that frames, you know, the order of fractal relationships.
Yes.
And those 12 vectors you're talking about, I'm really fascinated with that. Bucky was really into the dodecahedron and the icosahedron. Are those vector coordinates of the dodecahedron?
The vector equilibrium is the mother, as I said, of geometries, because all of its vectors, all of its edges and the radial lines from the center out to the vertices, all of them are the same length. And that means the push and pull is exactly the same in every direction. And it's the only geometry that's like that. And in fact, you'll never see that in the material world, because the material world is not in equilibrium. Everything material has come out of that equilibrious plenum and contracted into taking a form, whether it's a crystal or a human body or a galaxy. It lasts for a while and then ultimately dissolves back into the shape of the plenum. So the icosahedron and the dodecahedron and the cube and the octahedron and the tetrahedron are all the basic contractions. They're like the notes of an octave, but the octave is spatial geometry rather than light or sound.
Well, that fascinates me, because it ties back into the torus field as the basically operant thought form or geometry or, you know, frame of reference, as you say, from all levels, to the atomic level, to the galactic level, the torus field around the body, the human aura, which is, you know, around the heart, the torus field around the Earth, around the Sun. I saw video clips on your Thrive movement that shows pictures of the torus field around the Earth and around the Sun, and that all these levels from the atomic to the galactic have this torus field of perfect order and harmony. And at the center of every torus field, I understand there's like a black hole, white hole, W-H-O-L-E, not H-O-L-E,
yeah,
that is all connected to every other torus field on an atomic level to a galactic level.
Yeah, it's both a mind blower and a heart opener when you realize that every system, every living system, is centered by this black hole, just of different sizes. But this black hole, rather than just picturing something that's sucking everything in, it's really like an antenna of consciousness. And you have, whether it's an electron or an atom or a seed or a body or a solar system, you have this rotation around the center of the what we recognize as the material world, but we seldom stop to think that at the very center of every system seems to be where consciousness comes through. Literally, spirit is manifesting into the material world in 92 different shapes. That's the periodic table of elements. And then complexifies as all of the material world that we observe, but it's always still centered by consciousness. And those centers are not only interconnected, you know, quantum entanglement is now proving that in physics, but they're not only all connected, they're actually one. And at first, when we started, some of my colleagues and I started talking to traditional physicists about this back in the 90s, they would be flipping out. Like, that was, you know, you can't talk about consciousness and physics and everything. And we would say, well, look at your own Big Bang theory. You're saying everything in the cosmos as we know it began in a point so small you couldn't even see it. Well, picture that like a seed that gets planted in the ground and then grows its roots down, grows its branches up and out, and then its leaves and its fruit and everything, all of that connected by a hollow tube all the way back to the center of the seed where the life force was in the first place. We'll extrapolate that out to the whole cosmos, and they would start to say, oh, okay, now I can start to see how everything could not only be interconnected in this continuous sea of energy or consciousness or love, but actually at the center, it's one.
Well, it's true how it's all connected. And I think that's the breakthrough with quantum reality, the quantum field, the source field, the unified field. Physics has all come back to that concept of unity and diversity, or, you know, the relationships of all connected.
Yes, it's distinct and unified at the same time.
That's
the dichotomy that we need to learn to be able to hold. As to hold those two thoughts simultaneously opens up a whole other understanding of how the universe works, and it transcends one's consciousness into recognition of wholeness. And that, to me, is the key. One of the reasons why we spent so much time and frankly, money doing the graphics, the computer graphics in 3D for the film, was we really wanted people to be able to visualize very clearly this torus field that we're made of at every level, from atoms to molecules to cells to the electromagnetic field around our body. So that we could feel and see that resonance of which we're made. Because if we can recognize that honoring wholeness is the key to surviving and thriving, then we can simply take that awareness, take this torus lens, and then look at all the different aspects of our lives through the lens of wholeness. So if you're looking at agriculture, you're going to look to sustain a whole healthy ecosystem. And then you're not going to have the fertilizers and pesticides and herbicides and all that stuff. You're not going to be doing monoculture. You're going to be doing polyculture, which maintains its own self-defense systems and so forth. And when you're eating food, you're going to be looking to whole foods and whole grains and so forth, because fundamentally, whole fruits and so forth, they still hold the spin. They hold the whirling life force that we get from the sun that actually nurtures our body. And so then when we look at an economy, we're going to have to look and see, okay, what is wholeness economically? And we're going to have to see that things like, fake credit default swaps and these various derivatives and so forth that are simply made up, fiat money made up out of nothing. There's no wholeness to it. There's no direct correlation with a wholeness in nature. So ultimately, it's always going to collapse. So if we can look and see what is wholeness in ourselves, where we integrate our body, our emotions, our mind, and wholeness with other people, where we learn to resolve conflict and the trust in relationship grows, and then wholeness in relation to the environment, where we realize that we are simply a small but vital part of the environment, and then go about our relationship in a humble way, honoring that wholeness. This is the perspective that I think can really help us redesign our systems, obsolete the ones that are killing us, and actually end up thriving on a healthy planet.
So you've been doing this, working on the Thrive movie, I understand, for 8 years?
Yes.
And in that process, we finally launched on 11-11-11, mm-hmm. The movement. Since then, it's been going momentum stage. I've seen response from all over the world. It's just really phenomenal. The buzz that's on this concept of Thrive, and you really, as you're speaking about it, it's just like I'm seeing so many trends, like in the natural food movement, it's been moving away from the chemical isolate theory of vitamins and minerals to the whole foods concept, just like you were talking about.
Yes, exactly. We've been so thrilled with the response that we're getting. I mean, obviously, we were hoping for it. We consciously set out to create a two-hour media experience and a website that could positively alter the global conversation. But obviously, that's a big goal. But we're delighted to see that it's actually happening. We set out to empower a self-creating movement. That's what Thrive Movement is. It's not, you know, my wife Kimberly and me saying, we've got all the answers, follow us. But instead, to just offer the best that we know from our lifetimes, to provide people with information that can save them decades of research about what's really going on, and then the principles and structures and tools for going about effective solutions. And we've obviously touched a pulse, because people are so hungry for making sense out of this chaotic, you know, collapsing world right now, and regaining their own power and self-esteem and sense of belonging and a sense that they can really make a difference. And so people already, just in a little over 2 months, all over the world, have created around 3,000 home and public screenings, where they just get a hold of a copy of the DVD or run it from the internet and gather either, you know, a dozen people in their homes or 1,000 people in an auditorium and show Thrive, and then have an in-depth public discussion afterward. And that's just what we were hoping for. And we were anticipating, frankly, a lot of controversy, because anybody who's seen the film, there are a lot of controversial subjects in there, where it goes into UFOs and free energy and conspiracy and liberty and so forth. So there's a lot of mind-stretching notions in there. But we've actually had hardly any controversy at all. And I've been asking people, you know, why is that? And they said that, first of all, we fact-checked everything, so it's reliable. And we also spent a long time putting all of these different pieces of information into a coherent story, into connecting the dots, so people, even though they're getting exposed to unusual ideas in many cases, they can actually see how they all fit together, and that makes it much more easy to integrate. And then finally, instead of just talking about all these nasty things that are going on in the world and then running the credits and saying, well, you know, change your light bulb and write to your congressperson, we spent a full hour at least in the film on solutions, really practical, large-scale solution strategies, but then individual things that each person can do in their daily life right away that don't take a lot of time or money. You know, things like just getting informed and organizing with your local community and moving your money out of these big tapeworm banks that brought down the economy and banking locally to support your own community. And things like joining movements to audit and end the Federal Reserve, because that's really the heart of the scam that's destroyed, you know, is destroying billions of lives. This whole central banking fractional reserve scam, which is really worldwide. And things like making sure that you participate in groups that are keeping the internet open, because that's our main source of information and self-organization. And the government's trying to take it over, and major corporations are trying to take it over, the UN's trying to take it over. So that's like number one, if we're going to break through this thing, is to keep that open and fair. So those are some examples of things that you can do. And on our website, there's a whole solutions and what can I do section that we recommend people print out the page, stick it on your refrigerator, make it into a checklist. And next time you wonder, well, what could I possibly do that would make a difference, just go back to your checklist and see what you haven't done yet.
Well, your timing is exquisite. I really believe that this year, 2012, there's a lot of science out there about our solar system orbiting up and across the galactic plane and, you know, the precession of the equinox, you know, the 26,000-year cycle. And that now is the time that it's happening, and our solar system is now in alignment in 2012 with hundreds of billions of star systems in the galactic plane of our Milky Way galaxy, mm-hmm. and it orbits up and across that every 26,000 years. So twice, you know, 14,000 years was the last time, and that was the rise of Atlantis, which was about a 2,000-year period, I understand, of the civilization of Atlantis, you know, from cosmic history as it arose, and then, you know, went through its cycle. But we're just coming into this 2,000-year period of Aquarius, which is cosmic love. It's, you know, the whole spirit of cosmic love, and it's just beginning.
Yes, we've been going through a period, and it's predictable. If you really study cosmology and the evolution of worldviews, it's predictable that we've been going through a period of major contraction. Uh-huh. And you can see it in the society around. There's so much suppression of alternative energy, the suppression in education, there's suppression economically and governmentally and so forth. But at the same time, there is an emerging global movement, really the first global movement in history, of evolving consciousness and commitment to taking care of justice and the environment and peace in a way that we have never seen, and I'm convinced is unstoppable.
Well, for those who might have tuned in or tuned in later in the show, I'm talking with Foster Gamble of the Thrive Movement. This is Christopher Rudy with Cosmic Love. And we're going to be taking calls for those who would like to call in. If you'd like to have a question for Foster Gamble about the Thrive Solutions, we'll certainly acknowledge those. And Foster, I'd like to ask you also, in this regard, your understanding of the Taurus field is really what I call the singular connecting thought form of the movie. To me, it puts it all together, and you referenced this understanding as I like to think of, is it a portal or as a stargate or as a black hole, white hole, where the operating on all levels from the atomic level to the planet to the solar system to the galaxy, and that this energy, this connection that's all connected, an instant everywhere, interactive, unified field, source connection, there's an intelligence in that, and my understanding of when you're really centered and connected with the keto or the dance or whatever, that you're really, there's a balance there. It's like a natural check and balance, and that's what I understand is really needed in all systems of government in this year of transformation of 2012, is checks and balances.
Well, we end the movie with an image that is really important to me, because those of you who haven't seen the movie, we have a motif that we had a lot of fun with, which is a high-tech, toroidal-shaped magic carpet through which we fly around the cosmos and down into the atom and out into galaxies and around the world to speak with different pioneers in different fields. And that toroidal field is centered by what the Sufis called the clear glass bead at the center, or the in the Christian tradition they talk about the kingdom of heaven is within. And in this Taurus vehicle, we've got two screens. One of them we call Navigating Insights, and that's the gems that we learn from various experts in various fields. What are the principles that we need to follow in order to sustain a thriving course on planet Earth? The other is what we call the vital signs, and that's the charts and graphs, the data that we don't get from the corporate media, but we really need to see in order to find out how we're doing. That's our kind of global biofeedback. But then at the center of the this navigator is the torus itself. There's a holographic projection of the torus because that's the compass that we need to hold all of our systems up to and see whether or not our media systems and economics and energy systems and so forth are aligned with that. And it's the same way inside ourselves as it is in the material world. And what I recommend is that it's really useful to check with the experts to get the data. It's useful to find the wisdom of people who've looked into something for a long time to save yourself time. But ultimately, our true guide is that stillness within ourselves, what I call inner guidance. And there are an infinite number of ways to get in touch with that. Some people meditate. Some people dance. Some people do self-hypnosis or Aikido or figure skating, spinning, or running, whatever it is, making love. There's a multitude of ways to get in touch with it. But the key that we're all involved in is in every moment that inner voice is speaking to us, and we're either listening or we're not. If we're listening, we're listening well and putting it into action, or we're not. But I think that's what we're here for, and I think that lining up with those natural principles, the center and the spin axis and the rotation of the torus, but then to allow that inner voice to be not only our thinking but our speaking and our acting, that to me is the science and the celebration of love. That's the cosmic love. That's the Aikido of life, and I think that's what we're here to learn. And once we realize that, life becomes a whole lot easier.
Well, that's a visualization for me that I like to think of the correct thought form of the pyramid of self and civilization, where you really have cosmic love or divine vision or God vision or centered and connected Aikido vision or whatever in the capstone.
Yeah.
And you've got all the, you know, the four lower bodies, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, you know, and physically, individually and collectively. In civilization, you've got you've got education, healthcare, the economy. You've got all the, you might say, the lower bodies of civilization, you know, the components to the capstone, all rising to that correct vision. And so the Aikido balance, check and balance dance is between, you know, for self and civilization, you know, the correct thought form in the capstone versus the deceptive, disinformation, you know, chaos, management through chaos thought form.
Yeah.
Of, you know, the dark side. You know, it's like the light side and the dark side. Holding the vision of being centered and connected in harmony with, you know, with all that is, you know, with being one and centered. Holding that vision in the capstone for self and civilization seems to me to be the real challenge.
Yeah, I love your notion of just reclaiming that whole image, which has been, you know, as I say in the film, the majestic image of the Cheops pyramid, I think, has been perverted into representing this hierarchical system of control and deception. And I encourage people, even in their corporations, and I used to be a management consultant for corporations in Silicon Valley, and I would encourage people to just throw out that pyramid system and replace it with a toroidal system. And you need to recognize that different people have different duties and authorities and so forth. But if you have a system where it has a center and then concentric rings, but the communication goes into the center and back out again and includes everyone, then it's a whole, it's lining up with the way a natural system actually works in a way that seems to be much more flowing and true than the rigid hierarchical structure of the old pyramid org chart.
Well, Bucky Fuller used to talk about that all species and nations that became extinct did so because of over-specialization and under-adaptability to the holy whole,
yes,
to the whole systems. And also, you know, and this is the disintegration spiral that civilization is in right now. It's compartmentalized, and it's not holistic. It's not integrated. And the thought form in the capstone, you know, the choice for humanity seems to be between two communication models. One is basically a top-down model, which is the command and control, one-way centralized mass programming of the mass mind, which is mainstream media right now. And the other one is the internet model, which is decentralized. Yeah. It's every which way. It's interactive. It's social conscience and social networks. It's self-organizing. And it's basically an upgrade, an electronic upgrade of all of our core freedoms of speech, assembly, petition, government, with people with origination and evaluation of programs on a real-time basis that involves and evolves our individual and collective consciousness.
Yes. Yes, and to me, that's based on, to go back to the beginning of our conversation, that aligns with the honoring of the wholeness of each individual, rather than giving rights to a few individuals that others don't have, which always ends up leading to tyranny. So I think we're really at a fork in the road where we're rediscovering at a whole new level what personal liberty really is about. And I can see that in the Occupy movement as well. I'm so proud of a lot of aspects of that movement where they haven't sold out to the left or the right, you know, the usual political binary, or to the unions or management or anyone else. They're actually really looking to find out what is a way that we can relate to each other which actually preserves the equality of each person. And so they're having really in-depth discussions in their councils each night. And I'm happy to say that a lot of them are using Thrive now in their media tents and so forth, and watching the film and then using the website to help save them time in this whole conversation of what are solutions that are actually based on liberty and not going into accepting any violations of the wholeness of any individual.
So my big question about the Thrive solutions would be, how do the best ideas rise to the top, like cream to the top, you know, to the milk of kindness, you know, the best ideas for solutions for 100% of humanity? How will they, what's the communication process whereby they will rise?
Yeah, well, this is something that I've experimented quite a bit with in past activities myself, and I'm happy to say that, you know, Bucky and Arthur Young and Walter Russell, some of these visionary scientists, you know, were accurate once again in their perception. What we've found is that if you use this sector model to have all these different committees, but then use a toroidal model of having circles for each of the sectors, but then self-selecting someone to represent that sector to then come into the center of the circle into some sort of steering committee to represent each of the sectors together, to do guidance in the center of the torus, and then have those communications go back out to each of the sectors, and then keep that toroidal flow going. And there are certain aspects to the communication that I've learned from a Native American chief as well, as to how to keep any dissenting opinions on the table until issues are resolved, that really help that process also. I don't have time to go into it now, but we go into that on our website. And fundamentally what we've found is that in relation to Thrive, people are self-creating Thrive groups in cities, counties, states, and countries all over the world already. And we're sharing with them as proactively as we can our solutions model, these geometric models and toroidal communication models, and just recommending that they use them, and then recommending that they be proactive in their local communities in all these 12 sectors, whatever anybody is interested in, and then report into our website what's working and what's not, so we can not only keep surfacing, revealing the best practices that you were referring to, but also then connecting different local movements that are working in particular areas, connecting them with other local movements, and beginning to create that global neural network, so that people aren't having to reinvent the wheel every time, and we can surface those best practices, align with them, and really get on with it on a global scale strategically, but on a local scale tactically.
So it's a communication process whereby we come into unity on local and all aggregate levels.
Yes, exactly, and then link together with other groups who are doing the same.
Well, we might have a question. Is there a question there? Do we have a question? Someone call in? I heard a beep.
No question.
No questions for now. So, we were going to talk for about 45 minutes. It's gone about that long. So I thought, you know, we could wrap it up. What would you suggest for us to best get started on a solutions model, in our own lives right now?
Well, thanks. That's my favorite question. That's where my mind is these days, particularly now that we've gotten out what we think is the key information for people to get a start on, just a basic understanding of what's going on. It's the solution conversation that's interesting me and interesting most of the people that I'm talking to. And what I recommend is that people see the film at least once. Many people, as I'm visiting different cities, are seeing it multiple times because it's a dense batch of information, and you get new things every time you see it. Then go to the website. We realized in the process of making it that the film is really a trailer for the website. So you can spend a few hours with the film, but then you can spend months with the website, and it's growing all the time. And use the tools there to get informed, to connect with other people, and to find your avenue of activism and to take care of yourself while you're being active. And then use the tools that we have there to connect in your community, and then use the website to then connect your activities with others, and we will keep getting that word out. You know, we now have the global communication systems that can allow us to align as a distinct and unified individuals in a joined humanity in a way that we never have been able to before. And in my research, one of the most hopeful things I've come to is that we truly have already what it takes to thrive. We've got the concepts, we've got the technologies, we've got the understandings of how to align with nature, and now it's a matter of sharing that information, taking action in a coordinated way, and just getting on with obsoleting those who are perpetrating this coercive agenda and getting on with true liberty and creating a world where everyone has the opportunity to thrive. And, you know, now's the time.
Wow, Foster, I'm just thrilled with what you're doing. I think it's phenomenal. I'm really excited. And I want to thank everyone for listening. Foster, thank you so much for being with us on Cosmic Love today.
Well, you are welcome. And I want to end by acknowledging you, Christopher, because what you're doing here, truly independent media that is not beholden to the government or to the corporation and can actually explore truth like this and get it out in the world, I know of nothing more powerful in the world than exactly that. So thanks for doing it.
Oh, thank you, Foster. And thanks again to everyone that's listened. And by God's grace, we'll be doing Cosmic Love here another couple of weeks. So look forward to having everyone together then. And Foster, God bless you and your work.
Thank you very much.
Bye for now.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to this presentation on Cosmic Love. I hope you have enjoyed receiving this as much as I have enjoyed giving it. There's a new relationship with all humanity that is maturing with the new synchronicity of instant, everywhere, interactive, net reality. Cosmic Love is the heart of this synchronicity. Tools and processes that empower the wisdom of Cosmic Love is the purpose of the Worldwide Love Foundation. The family of man is now making a quantum leap into a new consciousness as never before in history. Our awareness as humankind is expanding, and the Internet reflects that multidimensional expansion of consciousness into new realms of omniscience, omnipresence, and omnipotence in the power of cosmic love. This has huge implications. The more information we have, the greater the need to get it all in order. The more knowledge power we have, the greater the need for the wisdom of cosmic love. That should be common sense. And it's time to make common sense more common. If you agree that the American Revolution was huge for freedom and opportunity in the world, look what's happening to the whole world now. A new connection with cosmic love is positioning the golden rule, law, language for a golden age in our spirit, our minds, our hearts, and the soul of humanity. We're on the threshold of a global revolution that is awakening the angels of our better nature. Let's be honest and reason together. Cosmic love has always been the golden rule law language for every golden age in cosmic history. Some things don't change, only the ability of the human mind to grasp the full implications of the world in which we now live. That has changed with the internet, and like an adolescent who is not an adult yet, but not a child either, the internet is now installed, operational, and ready to take our personal and planetary consciousness to the next level. That would be cosmic love, and the foundation principles for this is the love model, a universal law language interface for net reality that represents the five-dimensional intelligence that can fulfill a global revolution in higher consciousness. Check it out for yourself. See how it works. Consider the role you can play and how you can benefit. The sooner you get the vision of this cosmic love thing, the sooner you can profit from a wholly new economy that will transform all our social networks with extraordinary abundance of everything held sacred by free people worldwide. There is a new intelligence that is defining and refining humanity's evolutionary ascent. The higher the intelligence of universal cosmic love, the greater the results. The gateway to higher consciousness is, in fact, the language of consciousness. The five-dimensional intelligence that cosmic love frames in form and frequency, as in frequently. Once you get it, how the Holy Spirit of love and action can heal our individual and collective conscience, it will become self-evident how cosmic love can nurture and culture the net reality that brings a Holy Spirit to the collective consciousness of humanity. Love heals all, always has, always will. The more cosmic and universal the vision of love, the greater the results. Welcome to the opportunity. It's time to link the light workers who are love makers. The internet now provides this opportunity for extraordinary synchronicity as will empower wisdom with cosmic love. Someone had to do it. Now you can. Network for the net worth of this new net reality. You have the vision now before you. What you do with it can change your world and the world at large. We are all co-creators in the cosmic scheme of cosmic love. The great spirit of great love is the great opportunity that genuine freedom gives all of us. Heaven knows that there is nothing more valuable than the vision of cosmic love that has found its time. Experience the Worldwide Love Foundation in your consciousness, being, and world. Care enough to share this vision of great opportunity. Step into the circle of global connection as you center and connect with the five-dimensional intelligence of cosmic love that provides the cultural DNA for a golden age on Earth. Miracles happen when cosmic love is conceived, believed, and achieved. You are that miracle when you become the cosmic love you want to see in the world. Own this vision as your own. Embrace the intrinsic virtue of cosmic love. Make the vow to do what you can because you can. Claim the victory for all mankind aspiring to live as kind men. Here's to winning from the beginning of a global revolution that will finish worldwide with the great experiment and representative government gave humanity with the American Revolution. Heaven on earth is virtually in your hands. Do you want the keys to the kingdom? Are you ready to assemble the components to the capstone of cosmic love vision? Discover the five-dimensional intelligence that will empower your own virtually untapped gifts and talents. Consider how you can make a difference, if not the difference. It's your life, your world. Take command. Give cosmic love the chance that you want for all mankind. Now you can. See for yourself. Do it for cosmic love, and heaven knows cosmic love will bless your life far beyond this one. Sooner or later, what goes around comes around. You can call that good karma, or the justice of cosmic law, or just the blessings of cosmic love. It's the same thing. The abundant life is born in abundant love. The more cosmic that love, the more abundant is your life. Personally, I can't think of anything better to do, and I hope you feel the same way. So keep in touch with cosmic love. It only gets better as you pay attention. This is how cosmic love works. Pay attention because attention pays in ways that make cosmic love the new currency for global peace and prosperity. Your attention is your consciousness. The next economy for planetary civilization will pay attention to the value of virtue, the virtue of cosmic love. The family of man in our global village must be connected to this one virtue. We must pay attention to the first principles of higher consciousness if we are to transcend the old paradigms of scarcity consciousness that scarcity economics has created. This is the whole point of cosmic love. We won't heal our personal and planetary problems with the same consciousness that created the problems. The best hope for humanity is the charity of goodwill among mankind. This is the charity of cosmic love in action. This is the Holy Spirit of cosmic love in man that raises mankind with loving kindness. I hope you appreciate this message and share it with others. That may be just your circle of influence with family and friends, or it may be every news group or blog on the internet where light workers and enlightened netizens, global citizens, hang out. By the grace of cosmic love, enough good people will do enough soon enough to quickly turn the tide of global consciousness from the paradigm of scarcity to the paradigm of abundance that cosmic love cultures. May the quickening and awakening of consciousness begin with you and your own personal evolution.